The reading is on page 576. So that's page 576, Psalm 57. For the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, of David, a miktam, when he had fled from Saul into the cave. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth.
Great, thank you. Well, please, if you can keep that Psalm 57 open, we're going to look closely at these words. There was a great change in the political landscape this week, wasn't there? But as Michael said earlier, it's good for us to remember that God is still on the throne. Our lives are in his hands. And I was reminded of that this week as I was looking at Psalm 57. Because when we put together the plan for the term, we didn't know that we'd have friends from Yeldor visiting today. But it's really fitting, I think, that we're looking at this psalm this morning, because it's a psalm all about finding refuge. And I guess that's a big part of what Yeldor Manor is. It's a place of refuge, a place offering safety and shelter and help to those in need, in danger. But I think also it's a good psalm for all of us, because none of us can avoid trouble in our lives. We're reminded all of us have that battle with sin till the day we die. We will all face things that will threaten our security and our well-being and our faith even. And the question for us at those times is, where will we find refuge? Where do you seek refuge? Well, we're going to find real help in this psalm, which calls us to find refuge in God. Just look at verse 1. Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I really feel the Lord has given us this psalm for this morning. So let's pray. Let's pray that he would speak to us. Our Father, thank you that the Bible is your word and that you speak to us today through it. So please would you meet with us now. Please reveal yourself to us and strengthen our faith in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen. So where do you seek refuge? Where do you seek refuge? I think that this psalm shows us how to do two things. To take refuge in the God who loves you, and then to praise the God who saves you. So first, take refuge in the God who loves you. I ought to just explain why I thought we were going to look at this psalm today. Again, not because we knew we had visitors coming, but because it links to the theme, the series we've been going through this term in 1 Samuel. You can see that in that line of introduction. You see that there. That is part of our Bible text. And you see it says, for the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, of David. It's a psalm of David, a Miktam kind of song. When he had fled from Saul into the cave. So there's the link with 1 Samuel. The second half of 1 Samuel is all about that time when David was on the run from Saul. Do you remember? Saul was Israel's first king. He was the people's choice, but he was rejected by God because of his disobedience. And then there's David, and David is God's choice. But while Saul is still on the throne, he's trying to kill David. David's on the run. And this psalm, which David wrote, refers to that time. And very likely, this is the bit in 1 Samuel 22, we're told that as David was going from place to place with Saul on his heels, he escaped to the cave of Adullam, where we're told a whole load of desperate people gathered around him as their leader. But David is a king, but he's fleeing for his life. He's in great danger. And that comes over in the psalm, I'm sure you notice. So in verse 3, you see, he speaks of those who hotly pursue me. And that's true. Saul was relentless in his pursuit of David, taking a great army of people with him. David knows Saul means business. And he uses very vivid pictures to describe the danger he's in. Look at verse 4. He says, I'm in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. It's fantastic watching lions on a wildlife program, isn't it? Or if you've ever been to a safari park, they're magnificent creatures. But you wouldn't want to be in the midst of lions when they're hungry. They are ruthless. They are deadly. But David feels surrounded by people like that who are ready to attack at any moment, either with swords or spears. Saul twice throws a spear at David to kill him, or with their words. We come across people who are ready to betray David. David's in great danger. Or look at verse 6, which describes people who spread a net for his feet. They want to trap him like an animal. He says he's bowed down in distress. So you see the danger he's in, and maybe we know something of the distress that he feels, that he was feeling. You know that feeling of desperation, of your health being in danger, perhaps, or being mistreated by people around you, people letting you down, or you've been scarred by damaging words. You know how painful words can be. Or maybe it's something else threatening our lives at the moment. And the question is, where will we take refuge? Where will we take refuge? Well, here we find David sheltering in a cave. But the point is this, his refuge isn't the cave. His refuge is God. Verse 1 again, have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I'll take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. So I just want us to see what David is doing here. He's in real trouble. He's in a very low place, quite literally. He's in a cave, in a dark place, and he's bowed down by distress. But what does he do? He looks up, and he looks to God for help. And there are two reasons he can do that. First, because God is above him. He's above his troubles. Just notice how God is described in this psalm. Verse 2, he is God most high. Verse 3, he's the God in heaven. Verses 5 and 11 both say he is exalted above the heavens. You know how it is when you've got a big problem. When you're in distress or we're in trouble, often you can't see anything, can you? You can only see the problem in front of you. Our problems just seem insurmountable. And everywhere you turn, that the problem's right there in your face. It's a bit like being in a maze where wherever you turn, there's just another wall in front of you. And you never know how you're going to get out. But I wonder, have you been to one of those mazes where there's a platform in the middle, raised up high above the walls of the maze? And from there, you can see the whole thing. And if you've got a friend there, you can show them the way. You can lead them the way out. Well, the Bible says that God is way above us. He's God Most High. He is high above our problems and troubles. He is on the throne. So it's good to look to him, because he's not stuck down here. He's up there. He is above all. But you might say, well, okay, but what's the point in looking to him? He may be high and exalted, but maybe he's up high, not interested. Does he really care about me? And this is the second reason we're told to look to him. The Bible tells us about a God who has acted so that we can have a relationship with him. So David calls him, verse 1, he says, my God. He knows him. Or verse 3, he says, he sends from heaven, or he sends his love and faithfulness. So the God who is up there sends down his help, his love and his faithfulness. Those are great Bible words. They talk of God's commitment to his people. He's the God who makes promises to save and to keep his people. And he's the God who always keeps those promises. That's brilliant news if we've been hurt by broken promises. God never, ever does that. So can you see what a powerful combination those two are? How God is exalted high above the troubles that surround us, but he's deeply committed to us down here. And he acts for us down here. That's why we can take refuge in him. Because he's got the power and the greatness, but he loves us. And he's committed to us. So take refuge in him. It's a bit like the way that Jesus taught us to pray. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, he said, pray to our Father in heaven. So he's in heaven. He's above our troubles. But he's our Father who loves us. And he's committed to us. So take refuge in him. And let me ask, is that something you do? Is that something you do? That's how the Christian life begins. Christians are people who take refuge in Jesus Christ, because on the cross, Jesus faced the judgment of God for our sin, so that if we turn to Jesus, we're sheltered from that judgment. We know his forgiveness, and we know God as Father. It's how the Christian life begins, but it's also how the Christian life continues. We're people who in all our troubles take refuge in God. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't seek help and support from friends or family or programs or doctors or anyone else. All of those are a great thing and can be a great help. But even as we find help in those places, in those people, look up to God Most High, to the God who is committed to us. Look up to your Heavenly Father. Pray to him. Take refuge in the God who loves you. And David really shows us the way in doing that. In fact, I think he even goes a bit further. I think verse 5 is interesting. See, verse 5, he says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. So there, David's looking to the God who's high over all. But there, he's not asking for help. He's actually asking that God would be praised, and that his glory would be seen everywhere. I think David's showing amazing perspective, because he's right in the middle of all the trouble and danger. And interesting, this verse, verse 5, is right in the middle of the enemies of verse 4 and the traps of verse 6. But by praying in this way, I think he's showing he knows what's the most important thing of all. Not the problem he's facing or the danger he's in, even though those are very real. He knows the most important thing of all is that God is glorified. It's a bit like the first thing that Jesus tells us to pray to our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name, that his name would be honoured. Now, it may be that when we're in danger, in distress, that we struggle to praise God like that. But if we can, it's a very powerful expression of faith. If we're able to say to ourselves, no matter how bad things are, no matter how much I'm struggling, God is worthy of praise. There's a wonderful defiance about faith like that. And of course, it's because he's worthy of praise. It's because he's such a great God that we really can take refuge in him. So take refuge in the God who loves you. And then second, praise the God who saved you. Praise the God who saved you. You know, when you've been saved from great trouble and difficulty, it's natural to want to talk about it. It's just wonderful to hear from Will earlier, wasn't it? Well, David is no different, because he knows that when he cried out to heaven, God certainly replied. The psalm hints at different ways that God answered his prayer. Verse 3, he says, "He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me." Verse 6 says, "They dug a pit for my path, but they've fallen into it themselves." And as we've been going through 1 Samuel, we saw time and again how God stepped in to save David from death. Twice he dodged Saul's spear. God provided a great friend to warn David of the coming danger. He provided someone to feed him when he was hungry. Once when Saul and his army were just about to close in on David's position, Saul suddenly got a message that, oh, the Philistines are attacking over here. So he had to just drop everything and go over there instead. And David was saved. There's no doubt in our minds that God is preserving his life as David depends on him. And because he knows that, because he knows how good God has been to him and how he's saved him, David wants to give God the glory. Look, verse 7. "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn." There's a real change of mood, isn't there? All the desperation has gone. Now he wants to sing. He wants to make music. And you can tell this isn't the kind of, you know, background music that you put on, you think you can chat and have a coffee over. No, he wants everyone to wake up, he says. Awake. He wants to wake up himself. He wants to wake up instruments to play. He even says he wants to waken the dawn. It's a funny thought, isn't it? We do a bit of camping as a family, and when you're camping in the countryside, you realise how bright the dawn can be and how noisy it is. I mean, I like birds, but goodness, they make a racket at dawn. But David is so excited, he wants to be up early enough to wake up the birds, wake up the dawn itself. And why is that? Well, it's because he's got a great song to sing. Verse 9, he says, "I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies." That love and that faithfulness he experienced, God's loving commitment to him that meant he answered his cry and saved him, that's the best news to David. And he wants everyone to know. The whole world, everyone in every nation needs to know this great God. And so he repeats that prayer, that God would be glorified. But it's a bit different now, isn't it? Because when he was in trouble, that was a prayer of defiance. You know, you are great God. You deserve to be praised. Now he's been rescued. It's just, this is what everyone needs to know. Well, all Christians have a song to sing, because all of us have been wonderfully saved by God, haven't we? Out of his grace and his kindness, he has saved us. So we've all got a song to sing. As Peter says in the New Testament, we are a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's one of the reasons why we sing when we gather on a Sunday, because what God has done for us is too good to keep quiet about. It's also part of why we try to tell others, because the love of God we've found in Jesus is too good to keep to ourselves. So let's be trying to tell others. Let's sing our song. You don't have to sing, but let's speak up. Now, most of us find that difficult. I certainly do. So what can we do to help ourselves? Let's make sure we're doing 2 things. Let's be praying about it. Let's pray for God's help, praying for opportunities, praying for boldness to speak, praying for the right words if we struggle with our words, praying for God to be at work, because it's his work. And let's also be encouraging each other. I think over the years, I've been most on the ball with evangelism when it's been a team effort. You know, when others have prayed for me and I've prayed for them, we ask each other, how's it going? Praying for you, encouraging each other. So pray and encourage. Oh, and while we're at this time of year, make the most of Christmas. It is our best opportunity to invite someone to come and hear some of the good news of the God who's up there, the great God Most High, who came down to save us. Let's make the most of it. He is the God in whom we take refuge, the God who is worthy of all praise. And just as we finish, let me encourage us. If you feel that this psalm sort of shows up what you don't do, maybe you read this psalm, you hear the call to take refuge in God, and you think, well, I know I should. I know I should depend on him. I should pray to him when I'm in trouble, but so often I don't. Or you hear the call to praise him, and you think, oh, of how little you speak up. And you read this psalm and you think, oh, frankly, this isn't me. And you know, the good news is, it isn't you. These are the words of God's King, King David, who points us forward to the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, from David's line. Let me take you back to that cave of Adullam, where David was sheltering. In 1 Samuel, we're told that around him, there were about 400 people who gathered. All those who were in distress or debt or discontented, he became their leader. And the point is this: David trusted God to save him. And therefore, the people around him were secure because they were with him. Well, so it is with Jesus and the desperate people like us who gather around him in our need. He took refuge in God in his sufferings. He cried to God in his distress. And God answered his prayers. God sustained him. And ultimately, he saved him as he raised him from the grave. And God promises us that if we stick with him, he'll keep us and save us. And he will raise us on the last day. And meanwhile, the Lord has promised to build his church, to take good news, that good news of what God is like, to all the nations, and to do that on the lips of his people. So, as we look to Jesus, as we're united to him, take refuge in your God and praise him. Praise him for all he's done. Well, why don't we pray now? Let's pray. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Our Father, we want to thank you so much for the kind of God you are, that though you are the Most High God, though you reign today, that you're a God who's come down, and you're God who's shown us your love in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that we can take refuge in you in all our troubles. We thank you that we can come to Jesus as our Saviour, taking refuge in him in that way. But we thank you that also we can come to you at any time, that you're our Father, you're always ready to hear our cry. And so we pray you'd help us to do that, even as we seek help elsewhere, that above all we'd take refuge in you, and that increasingly we'd know your love and your faithfulness, and that then we would have a song to sing. Lord, you'd give us words that would bring you glory, that you'd help us as we tell others of your love and faithfulness. And so we pray you'd help us with that as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.